Ruadan is gone now, executed on the steps of the tower in Lone. And all I am left with, in the cold light of dawn, is memories. And a creeping doubt about whether I can possibly become the queen he raised me to be. There's a soft noise outside my tent. The mountain women who form my queen's guard shift on the other side of the flap, but don't seem alarmed, so I guess who it must be. I throw on my riding habit and step out just as Alana goes by, a slight figure bundled in an overlarge greatcoat, curls of chestnut hair escaping over its worn collar. As usual, she seems oblivious to my presence. I follow her out into the gray-green dawn. Light softens the rough tents that make up our run-down camp above the River Ard, near a town called Tavistock. Across the wide, rocky water, mingling with the fog, smoke drifts from the Tenani camp, where King Alfred's troops are waking to begin their latest offensive. They should have no idea that the Butcher of Novar is here, along with Alana and myself. Or at least, I hope they don't. The Butcher keeps claiming our ranks are littered with spies loyal to the Areni nobles who fled the kingdom after our rebellion, and who now have the ears of King Alfred of Tinnin. I've heard no rumors that they wish to reinstate Lois Erle, so maybe they're simply working against us out of spite. Given the narrow-minded thinking of some of my ministers, I wouldn't be surprised. The guards on the edge of camp acknowledge El, but, as usual, no one seems to take much notice of me. Despite my greater height and brilliant red coat, the people only have eyes for their cavia-deer. I might as well be invisible. We leave the guards behind, though. El doesn't want anyone to witness her weakness. At the top of the bluff, overlooking the river, she pauses, and I step up beside her. Softly, I say, "Can I help?" She casts me a tight, skeptical look. She's been angry with me ever since I encouraged Jahan to go to Ida and argue our case before the Emperor of Palladis. But now she simply seems condescending.
"No, Sophie, there's nothing you can do."
I swallow down a pulse of frustration. As if she needs to remind me, again, that she possesses sorcery and I don't. That she is the real leader of Eren and Karis, the one they truly respect, and I am not. That she is Ruadan's real daughter, and I am merely the one he replaced her with. As soon as she returned to Karis, our rebellion and our lives became all about her. She is the Cavia-deer, the steward of the land, the future of Eren and Karis. She's the hope of the kingdom, the symbol of magic re-emerging throughout the world. I am the backup, a would-be Aline to her earth-shaking Wildegard. The second choice, the girl who took her father's throne when her dead half-brother could not, and whose father has never once acknowledged her existence. Who took the throne, in some ways, because she knew her mother would expect it, encourage it, if she still lived. I'm not proud of how I feel. I remind myself that I love El like a sister. But like a sister, I wish she would learn how to share and take me seriously. She's already descending the steep trail down to the river, a spot she picked out yesterday, when the Butcher insisted a display of her magic would put the terror of the gods into the Tenani and destroy their current offensive. I'm more worried about it destroying El. There's a scrape behind me. Rhiannal hops up through the fog, alert despite the tiredness pinching her eyes. I can feel my own exhaustion mirroring hers. As usual, a frown puckers her black eyebrows, belying her delicate features. She tugs the collar of her dark blue coat up to her ears. The wind is sweeping down from the north, bringing the coldness of the still snow-capped mountains in the Tail Ridge. Though we're in the north of Eren, several days' travel from the peaks.